So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is, of course, the first show in 2018, so I want to welcome everybody back for another season here. Hope everybody had a very safe and happy New Year's. Now, while most of us have had a very safe and happy New Year's, there are always people who are the victims of senseless tragedy. And a lot of times this happens around the holidays. And what makes it even worse is that from there on out, every year thereafter, the people who remain behind have to associate the holidays with a senseless tragedy. And the latest senseless tragedy that I am referring to is this stupid swatting incident that happened in Wichita, Kansas, just a couple of days before the Happy New Year. And what makes this so idiotic is this whole thing started because of somebody playing games online. I think it was Call of Duty, and there was an argument about a $2 bet or something, and that in and of itself is just stupid enough that grown men are playing games. Now, as you well know, I hate sports. I detest sports because this is grown men playing in their pajamas. Now, the whole thing about online gaming is much the same thing. You never grew up. When you hit 21, put the thing down, get a job, and do something adult recreational. Stop playing games. You're not 12 anymore. You're not 13 anymore. These people, for some reason, never seem to outgrow this thing. And when they play these games, they still act like they're 12 and 13 years old. And this is a very good example of that. Now, somebody got their little feelings hurt. So the jackass decides to call the sheriff's office in Wichita, where the victim was killed in, I'm going to say, in cold blood. He was unarmed and he was killed for no reason. This guy made a call, and I've got the article here. Let me just kind of run down through and pull up some key points. The idiot in question is a 25-year-old Californian, and he has since been arrested for this, but his name is Tyler Barris, and he resides in South Los Angeles. And he was arrested on a fugitive warrant last Friday for allegedly making the so-called swatting call. Now, this was according to the Los Angeles Police Department. Now, what happened here is that he called the Wichita Sheriff's Office, and let me find where it was what he said. Okay, yeah. He calls up and said, they were arguing and I shot him in the head and he's not breathing anymore. I'm just pointing the gun at them, making sure they stay in the closet, my mom and my little brother. I already poured gasoline all over the house. I might just set it on fire. And he repeatedly gave the authorities the alleged home address. It was allegedly his home address. And of course, Wichita police responded in question. And what happened, folks, is an absolute tragedy. Because when they got to the house, they of course surrounded the entire place. And they were trying to make contact with who they thought was the caller inside. And of course, a potential situation of a suspect who was barricaded with hostages. But the guy answered the door, 28-year-old guy. He opened the door and he was immediately told to raise his hands and walk toward the officers. And they say that he obeyed this for a very short time until he moved his hands back down toward his waist. Now, supposedly, the officers ordered him again to put his hands up, but the man lowered them down again. And as the man turned toward officers on the east side of the home, he lowered his hands to his waistbands and suddenly pulled them up toward the officers. He was hiking his jeans up, dude. And that's when an officer on the north side fired one round, striking the man. So they killed an unarmed guy for a crank call. Now, of course, the deputy chief, a guy by the name of Troy Livingston, said in regards to the officer who fired the shot, he feared the male had just pulled a weapon from his waistband, retrieved a gun, and was in the process of pointing it at the officers to the east. Really? You can't tell the difference between somebody hiking up their trousers and someone pulling a gun? Now, the officer who did this was a 7-year veteran of the Wichita Police Department. And I'm sorry, I said the sheriff's office earlier. It was the Wichita Police Department. That was my mistake. But now, after they shoot the guy, the cops then swarmed the house, and they found 4 people inside who were very much alive and unharmed. Yeah, you think? Because you're at the wrong place. Now, they said the man who was shot was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police didn't find any weapons on him. Of course not. He was unarmed. And officers learned he did not make the 911 call. Well, yes. Now, see, that's just the beginning of it, folks. Now, we now know who this person was. His name was Andrew Finch. He was 28 years old. And he is now dead because of some idiot making a stupid crank call and some hotshot cop who can't tell the difference between empty hands and a gun. So, Finch's mother says, "I heard my son scream. I got up and then I heard a shot. The police said, 'Come out with your hands up.' The officer took me, my roommate, and my granddaughter, who witnessed the shooting and had to step over her dying uncle's body." Can you imagine that, folks? She then told reporters that she and her family were handcuffed, taken outside, and placed into separate police cruisers. They were then transported downtown and interviewed by Wichita police officers. Can you imagine that? Someone that you love has just been murdered for no reason, and then you are handcuffed when you were supposed to be the alleged victims in the first place? You know, I used to work with a guy who was, he was a Cajun, and he used to say, "What's wrong with this here picture?" Well, that's what I'm thinking here, folks. What's wrong with this here picture? Everything. Now, the rep here, Livingston, said, "Last evening's officer-involved shooting is a tragic and senseless act, you think? The irresponsible actions of a prankster and the officer involved put people and lives at risk. The incident is a nightmare for everyone involved, including the family and our police department." Yeah. I mean, what do you think is going to come of this, folks? The officer who fired the shot has been placed on administrative leave, which Livingston said is standard protocol. Of course it is. Now, he did not name the officer, but said he's a 7-year veteran of the department. He goes on to say that due to the actions of a prankster, we have an innocent victim. If the false police call had not been made, we would not have been there. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family as well as the officer. Yeah, because this jackass now is going to have to live with this for the rest of his life. The thing about this, folks, is that this jackass who made the call has done this before. He called in a phony bomb threat to KABC several years ago and served time for it. Now, what do you think is going to happen this time? What are they going to charge him with? What they should charge him with is involuntary manslaughter or second-degree murder. Maybe he'll learn his lesson. But I don't think so. Our youth today has no concept whatsoever of what your actions do. They have no concept of consequences. Everything is video games. You shoot somebody, they die. And the next time you pick up the joystick, they're alive again. And our young people have lost the ability to understand the difference between a game and reality. Unfortunately, the reality of this situation is that an unarmed man was wantonly and senselessly killed. It's happened too many times in recent history where these young kids are so used to playing video games and they're so programmed to shooting someone, they're so used to that, that the line between fantasy and reality begins to blur. And in their minds, they think it's one and the same. They're so numb to pulling that trigger and seeing someone go down that when they do it for real, it means nothing to them. Something's got to be done about this, folks. Now, far be it from me to be someone who's going to be out there promoting censorship. It's not what I'm saying here. But there needs to be some sort of regulation on these video games. I mean, these kids are getting these things at 5 and 6 years old. They're pulling the trigger, and they're killing people. And they are growing up insensitive to what it means to aim a gun at someone and pull the trigger. They're becoming numb and desensitized to it. Of course, the question remains, well, is that designed into it? Is it a coincidence? Or is it purposeful? Could these video games really be designed, much like the movie The Last Starfighter, where this kid played a video game and was then recruited by Space Command to fly a ship and participate in an intergalactic war? Are these kids really being programmed on purpose? It's something to think about, folks, because it's mostly millennials that are playing these things. Millennials are mostly leftists. A lot of them are socialists, and a lot of them have communist leanings. Maybe, just maybe, they're being groomed to go up against you and me in a major war. Think about that. What better way to indoctrinate a young mind than through a video game? Now, I know it may sound absurd, but I don't think it is. I really think that this is being done on purpose to take these millennials and get them used to killing people so that when the point comes where the bow breaks and you and I have had enough and we decide to take this country back, we're going to be battling an entire generation of people who are electronically used to shooting at people. They're not going to have the same fears or nervousness that you and I did growing up the first time that we aimed at something and either pulled the trigger or released the string. I remember, folks, when I was 12 years old, I bought my first deadly weapon, which was a Bear denim compound bow. I bought it at a Target in Duluth, Minnesota. Those were the days when Target actually sold guns and ammunition. And the house that I lived in had a 23-acre hayfield behind it that was loaded with groundhogs. And I remember the first time I drew down on one of these groundhogs, my heart was beating, my hands were shaking, and I let the arrow fly, and of course I didn't hit the thing. And that became the norm. Day after day, week after week, month after month, until it got to the point where I knew that I was not going to hit one of these damn groundhogs. And one day, I saw one. I opened up my bedroom window. I was on the second floor. Just without looking, reached over, grabbed an arrow off my desk. Unfortunately, it did not have a tip on it. And it's the one time I made contact. And I hit that thing, and I bowled it over sideways, and it rolled over three or four times. And I was so elated. Yeah, I finally hit one. I never had buck fever again. That's what overcame it. But dozens of times leading up to that, I would get the shakes. I would get the nervousness. And that's what most people have when they initially go into combat, when they initially encounter an armed intruder in their home. That's what they have to contend with. But if my theory is correct, then we're dealing with an entire generation of people who despise everything that you and I stand for. And they don't feel that nervousness anymore, folks. They're used to looking down the barrel of a gun and pulling the trigger. Think on that for a couple of minutes. I gotta take a break here, and I will be back shortly.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective. Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. is the first show of 2018. It is the new year, folks. Now, just out of curiosity, this is a rhetorical question because obviously you can't call in and tell me. You can email me, however. But how did you celebrate New Year's? How did you ring in the new year? In different parts of the country, it's done differently. Now, in states where fireworks are illegal, far fewer fireworks are discharged on the 4th of July and New Year's Eve than they are in states where they are, in fact, legal. Now, as I've gotten older, I have refrained from buying fireworks and discharging them as I used to do when I was younger. But there was a time when on New Year's Eve, all my neighbors would come out after the ball had dropped. They would stand on their front porch and wait for me to do everything that I was going to do. They never knew what it was, but they knew it was going to be interesting. It could have been firing bird busters out of a 12-gauge or shooting off some mortars or firing tracer rounds up in the air. They never knew. They just knew that there was something loud coming out of my yard. And I look back kind of fondly to New Year's Eve of 1999. I was engaged at the time, as you well know, having listened to the show, that I was married to a police dispatcher. Well, at this time, she and I were engaged. We were not yet married. And this was 1999. This was the new millennium that was being rung in. This is when people thought that the computers were going to crash and society was going to fail. So I had gotten some really cool fireworks. I had a bunch of bottle rockets, and I still had an entire box of Chinese bird busters. Now, if you're not familiar with bird busters, they are 12-gauge rounds that actually launch a genuine M80 into the air for scaring birds. And I had gotten these things, I think, in the, oh my gosh, like 1990 or 91. It was before the Clinton Chinese ban. And I had gotten like 25 of these things for $5 or some really ridiculous price. So I would use them sparingly over the years on the 4th of July and on New Year's. Well, this particular New Year's, my next-door neighbor came over with a bottle of wine, and he wasn't 21, I think he was like 20. So he's swigging the wine, and I'm shooting off these bird busters and bottle rockets and everything, and we've been doing this for a couple of hours. And suddenly, two police cruisers pulled up in front of the house, and two officers got out, because at the time they weren't doing partners. They were single officers per car. And these two cops come walking up the driveway. So I, of course, had secreted the shotgun. And my next-door neighbor had stuck the bottle of wine in a bush. Yeah, he's standing there. He's really nervous. So I greeted the two officers. And I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Oh, not much. Been shooting off any fireworks or discharging any firearms, anything like that?" I said, "Well, I've been shooting off some bottle rockets. You know, I had some in my hand." Of course, I didn't tell him I had actually been discharging firearms, and had he walked around a bush, he would have seen the spent 12-gauge shotgun shells laying on the ground. I said, "No, I just been shooting off some bottle rockets here, nothing much." He said, "You got a fiance?" And then it dawned on me. And I gave her last name and her badge number. He said, she wanted to stop by and say hello. And I said, "Well, something I'm not going to repeat here, what I called them," you know, jokingly, of course. "Who are you guys?" So they told me their names. And, of course, my poor neighbor, I mean, he was just standing there completely at that age, when you get into a situation like that, I mean, it was just actually priceless. I wish I'd have had that on videotape. But he was trying to turn into brick camouflage to match the front of my house. But we all shook hands, and they laughed, and we all had a good joke over it. So the ball came down. We rang in the New Year's, and I went over to my then-fiancé's house and waited for her to come home after she had gotten off of duty. So she came in the door. I said, "Yeah, I appreciate what you did earlier." She's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Sending the cops to the house." She said, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "Well, two cops showed up at the house asking me if I'd been shooting off fireworks or discharging firearms, and then wanted to know if I was engaged." And she said, "Oh my God, a couple of days ago, there were a couple of officers that asked me what I was going to be doing for New Year's. And I said I was going to be working, but my fiancé was probably going to be shooting off fireworks. And then they asked me who you were." I said, "Well, that's what it was." So, to make a long story short, these guys were driving around with nothing to do. They were bored, and they decided to come by and play a prank on me. And it worked. So that's my New Year's Eve story. I don't think I've ever shared that one with you before. I know I've shared the 4th of July story, where I inadvertently shot a bottle rocket down the driveway as an officer was coming down the street, and the bottle rocket went off about 20 feet in front of his car and discharged. I know I've shared that one with you, but I don't think I've ever shared the New Year's Eve story with you guys before. But anyway, if you have some really crazy New Year's Eve stories and you want to email them to me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com, I'd love to hear from you and share them on the air. So if you had anything really crazy go on one year for New Year's Eve, let me know. See, the thing here about being in North Carolina is some fireworks are legal and some are illegal. You can, however, drive across the border into South Carolina and get the really good stuff, like mortar shells and skyrockets. See, here in North Carolina, ground displays are legal, but anything that flies or explodes is still illegal. So that means no bottle rockets, no skyrockets, no mortar shells, no firecrackers. So everybody goes down to South Carolina and they stock up. And folks, if you live in a state, and I'm sorry for you if you do, like California, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, any place like that, where fireworks are completely illegal, and you have never experienced New Year's Eve where fireworks are legal, I pity you. For about 15 minutes after the ball drops, there's about a 30-second window after the ball drops that's completely silent. You go out the back door, and you start setting your stuff up, and then it starts. And it is non-stop for 10, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes in good years, even a full half hour of nothing but firecrackers and mortars and M80s and everything that you can think of going off at one time. And it literally sounds like a war zone. It is awesome. So if you've never had the opportunity to do that, oh, of course, there's also the gunshots that go off. I mean, people barking off 9mm, and I was always good for going off and shooting my .44 into the ground and an AR-15 a couple of times. And it's always the perfect time to test out new firearms because there's so much stuff going off that nobody can tell the difference between gunshots and fireworks. So it's always a good time to try out new things. But on that note, I am out of time here, folks. And as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Again, if you have any New Year's Eve stories, send them to me because I'd love to share them with all the other folks who listen in. So until next week, my friends, you take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.